Hey, Dan. Hi, Connor.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What's up, guys?
Jared Diamond.
There's no reason to think Bryce Harper and Manny Machado cannot still be good for 10 years. I'm not saying they'll be elite MVP players for 10 years, but even if you sign 26-year-old Bryce Harper to a 10-year deal, it's not unreasonable to think he'll still be a productive player at the end of that deal. But I think owners see this as an opportunity to try to stop signing these long deals. It's clear that owners no longer feel comfortable doing so, so now they're just lumping all players into it. But look, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado will both get very long-term lucrative deals, just maybe not the $350, $375 million Scott Boras was clearly hoping to get at the beginning of all this.
Intelligent, in-depth sports talk for your workday.
What they are is they're out there, they're talking, they're yapping, and they're trying their best.
Bernstein and McKnight, middays on The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, home of the Tucson and Santa Fe Sport. Vincent Goodwill gives us an NBA reset at 10. Sahadev Sharma, the latest on the Sturm und Drang surrounding the Chicago Cubs in Mesa, where it's kind of heavy there right now.
It's a little thick.
A little thick. Midday Midway at 11, Mark Lazarus on that ridiculously entertaining hockey game and the status of the Blackhawks at 11:40. Surprises along the way as well. 312-644-6767. That's our number at WSCR, The Score. Want to send an email, you send that to Bernstein and McKnight at 670thescore.com. We have texting. You can send a sext also to 67011. When you do, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein_MCK. His Twitter handle is at C1McKnight. I am at Dan_Bernstein. You must download the radio.com app.
Call me Mr. Big Chest.
That way you can stream The Score on your mobile devices, interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. You want to watch us? These cameras show us to you.
Hello.
And that's at watch670thescore.com and at Facebook Live, directed by Brian Gertz. Producers, Jay Zawoski.
The story was that David Falk basically told the Bulls, with regard to Elton Brand, trade him because we're not re-signing with you. Don't know if that's true or not. That's been denied. And Elton Brand is still playing today.
No.
Nah, he's not.
He's the GM of the Sixers.
Yeah, a pretty ballsy GM.
Yeah, but he's not playing.
No, he's not playing. He's not playing.
Neither is the guy on the board, Rick Camp.
Tonight, we really go inside the glass, presented by Toyota. My goodness, Pierre.
You can't get involved in the field of play, John, so keep your hands down.
I don't mean to laugh.
No, it's all part of what goes on down here.
Yeah, there is a great piece of video, super slow-mo, of a puck narrowly missing the dome of Pierre Maguire and going right into the camera lens.
As with all good video involving Pierre Maguire, he is not speaking during this video. It's great. It's some of the best video he's involved. He's silent. It's perfect.
Yeah, there was I was down on the glass over the weekend at one point, and there was a whistled slap shot that was right at my nose. On the glass.
You're behind the glass?
Yeah. And
did you flinch?
Like, oh, flinch. I wouldn't classify that as a flinch. That was
change your pants?
A complete dive roll away as quickly. I mean, it was just absolute autonomic. I mean,
Jason give you hell about it?
No, I don't know if anybody saw it. Okay. Somebody next to me was like, whoa, yeah, that was a hard slap shot. Like, I'm lying on the ground.
Easy,
like,
pal. Everybody's playing hockey around here. This happens a lot.
Yep. In the back, doing what he does, the Mexicutioner Ray Diaz.
You want to be the best organization in the game. There's a lot of high-profile free agents still out there. A lot of fans wondering why more money wasn't invested in adding to the team.
Yeah, Matt, that's a pretty easy question to answer. We don't have any more.
I don't understand. What happened to all that money?
But you do.
It's
just
gone.
You just don't want to spend it.
Maybe they lost it.
No, it's there.
Maybe the big bags of cash, just maybe there was a heist.
No, there was no heist.
We can't rule out a heist.
Unless the heist...
You're sitting here ruling out heists. I'm saying we can't do that.
I am not, if the heist was perpetrated by the firm of Hayward and Darvish, and Chatwood.
Chatwood Esquire.
Yes, that's where you spent the money, and I can understand if they say, look, we had a certain amount to spend, and they got it, and we're going to have to pay some other people. Yeah, teams do have budgets, but they could spend it if they wanted to. You know what you do? Change the budget.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You just put an extra, digit in there somewhere.
Right.
Really, anywhere you feel like it, you're making money hand over fist.
I listened to all
your choice of digits.
I listened to all the
One,
Tom Ricketts stuff.
Two,
No, I didn't ask you for a number yet. I've got a problem with some of what I heard. Actually, a lot of what I heard from the Cubs primary owner. And I get it that I am a pragmatist when it comes to these things from a public relations perspective. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. And I'm not going to live in – there's two worlds here. The real world is he got through it. He had to do it. He got through that media session where he can now say, I stood in front of the media, I answered the questions, and now they can move on to baseball. At some point, he had to run out the clock on it. And they waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. I think it's weird that he had to deal with free agency, this year's team, Addison Russell and domestic violence, his racist Islamophobic father, all of this in the same press conference.
And the new network.
Right, and Sinclair.
And the new network.
Right. So all of that, he bit off a lot because they waited and because they kind of decided that the clock was going to be where it was on this one. So it's over. He's through it. And ultimately, words don't matter all that much. And we're going to play baseball. And he's still going to own the Cubs. And they're still going to make millions. And they're still going to fill the ballpark. And everybody's still going to like the team. However, don't you dare. Don't you dare tell me that you had no inkling that your dad was any kind of racist. Come on. We know for a fact that his political action committee was undertaking, was in long meetings with people trying to use the president's Arabic middle name against him.
Yeah.
Multi-million dollar campaigns based on that. Don't you dare tell me you had no way. Oh, we just, you know, first of all, a couple things. It's not one email. It's not one email. It's not one comment. It's a stack of emails. He's laughing at the N-word. I mean, again, don't try to paste over the depth, the breadth, the intensity of the Islamophobia and racism. You can't tell me. And then to say, oh, he was like that because of the news of the day. Wait, what? What? He's a racist because of the news? What the hell does that even mean?
You think he's past this? You think they're past it?
For the most part. I think there'll be maybe a couple more days people talk about it, and maybe a couple. And I do think they will definitely lose some Muslim fans.
They will.
Yeah.
If they haven't already, they will lose some people who aren't Muslim and are fans of the Cubs and don't like the way that they handled what have become pretty obviously racist and Islamophobic emails released to the public. He was asked one question yesterday that he couldn't answer, and the answer to it may put them in more hot water. I'll tell you what it is after the update.
I know you've got a point here to make, but mm-hmm. the other thing that galled me was great man. You can say, yeah, you know, it's unfortunate these sentiments were expressed, etc. Don't give me great man. Do not give me great man. You can give me rich man. You can give me loving father. You can give me a whole bunch of things. It'll be in the obit someday. But don't stand there after what we read, laughing at the N-word and all of those. No. Don't. Being a racist precludes greatness in my book.
It's a hard ask of a guy who's up there talking about his dad.
I understand that. But he doesn't have to.
Okay to ask hard things of people in public eye.
But that's a little defiant.
It's
a great. Being a racist Islamophobe precludes great. A lot of things you can say, but in my book, great's off the table.
Tom Ricketts was asked, I think, if I recall correctly, it was by Sahad of Sharma of The Athletic, who's going to join us at 10:40. If it wasn't him, it was Paul Sullivan. The mic was a little quiet at that point. He was asked whether there are more emails from Joe Ricketts, and Tom didn't know. How could he? The Cubs organization can't know, and Joe might not even know himself. I mean, if there are more, there's another shoe to drop. If there are more, there's more discussion to be had about this, and if there are more, they might be worse. That's a conversation that I would imagine has happened at some level of that organization.
You better believe it.
It has to have. And for Tom to go out there and say we were surprised by the content of the email, regardless of whether or not he was copied on some of them. Pete, I think he said, was copied on some, and we saw that on the Splinter piece. Those things exist now, you know, and it's not – you don't get to say – it's very difficult to say, rather, that these views don't represent who my father is when he's writing out what his views are in some of these emails. He's delineating in bullet points what some of his views on Islam are. That's Joe, just kind of writing freehand. Here are the things, I think. But these aren't the things he thinks. He just wrote those things because he got caught up.
How does the news of the day make you a racist?
It's really difficult to reconcile that, I would imagine, in somebody's head. Whether you share those similar principles, whatever they are, or whether you've dissented completely from the principles of your parents, like it happens that a kid grows up and doesn't see eye to eye with his folks, but then has to reconcile the fact that those parents taught them about morality and about the world and about life. And that sucks at some point in your life to have to go, well, that I don't, how does the world work this way? And very clearly these things are right and good and moral and true. And these are the things I believe to be right. And this guy doesn't believe those things anymore. And this guy, the guy who taught me a whole bunch of stuff, doesn't think this way anymore. That's a very difficult thing to do.
I understand. It's like the guy I read about last week.
That doesn't that doesn't excuse what Tom went out there to do. That doesn't excuse necessarily the idea that you've got to denounce those ideas, because you do.
I read last week hard. About an 18-year-old kid who, as soon as he turned 18, you know the first thing he did was vaccinated himself. They said, well, why did you do this when you had the...
My parents were idiots.
That's literally what he said. He said, my parents are...
Did he really?
Yeah, he said, my parents are really stupid. And apparently he got to college and went through and he realized he was going and said, wait a second, oh my God, I got to get vaccinated immediately because my parents are idiots. This segment brought to you by National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic. Visit Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic in Schaumburg, February 22nd to 24th. The nation's largest upland hunting and conservation expo focuses on bird dogs, wild game cooking, and hunting heritage. With over 400 vendors and great seminars, Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic has something for you. Visit pheasantfest.org. Southside, Frederick, you're on the score.
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just want to thank you for, you know, calling it what it is, you know, a spade, if you will. You know, this is, man, it is what it is, man. Being a sports fan, you try to limit it to sports. You know, the bottom line is, I wouldn't say bottom line, but this sort of parallels the Kaepernick thing in a way that, man, I had a tough time. You know, that first season, I kind of didn't watch. It was tough on me because I love sports. It's a big part of my life, man. It taught me to never quit. So you kind of separate the two, but that was sort of a big issue. And now, you know, with the Kaepernick, the settlement and all that, you know, they're not releasing the terms and this and that. And Mully was kind of even alluding to the fact that, well, you know, he went for the money. I thought it was a bigger cause. But, I mean, the money's a byproduct of him not having been hired, which he would have received money had he been hired to do his job, the craft that he worked on. And this, you know, same thing with this Ricky stuff. It's like, you know, I want to watch the Cubs, man. That's exciting. I've been in Chicago all my life. You know what I mean? But it's hard to separate the two, so I just
but we will.
Man,
we'll all
Frederick, point it out for what it is.
Thank you, and the fact is, we do reconcile it, and we will reconcile it, and we'll just kind of forget it, and it'll bake itself in.
Not all of us. I don't know that that's true. I don't know that that's true as a blanket statement anymore. I could be wrong. I just, you know, you see as much information as is out there about everybody, you know. And people are now put to choices as to how they consume and what they consume various products, whether it's entertainment or sports or whatever. And I think because there's so much out there, there's easier ways to distract yourself from what you used to think was important.
It's just going to be really hard.
What you used to be into.
It's really hard to stay a fan of. Most teams are run by billionaires who are in bed with some bad interests.
Yeah.
Most teams are.
But when the emails, I mean, literally when the emails come out, and you get to read the text, you actually see the responses of those in charge. You actually see and to the other side of this, the Cubs have put into action plans and charities and donations and outreach to try and mitigate the horrible, abhorrent stuff that their dad was emailing about.
And still believes.
Probably still believes it.
The Cubs' actions are not – it's not Joe Ricketts confronting the fact that what he's – thinking and what he's retweeting and what he's sending along or resending is abhorrent.
No, he's not changing his mind.
I think the Cubs' actions are great, and I think that any sort of outreach, it's still damage control, obviously, that they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, but it needs to be done.
Right. They wouldn't be doing it if not for this. They're doing it on their own volition.
Likely true.
They're doing it because the dad is a racist. So it's great that the Cubs are showing it with their actions.
But isn't that part of the reconciliation you're talking about? Isn't that part of? I mean,
I guess
if some fans are pushed closer and closer to not caring about Cubs baseball because of some emails or whatever, then it stands to reason that some of those Cubs fans who are pushed to that edge would be brought back some by appropriate action in the other direction.
Joe is in Plainfield. He's on the Score. Hi, Joe.
How you doing? Again, I hear what you guys are saying. But what would you like to have happen? We had 20, 30 years of the Tribune ripping us off blind, and we, you know, that was okay. And Sam Flood, this is the best owner we've had, and I'm not condoning it. But what's the end result that you would like to see happen?
I don't think there's
press conference.
Yeah, I'm not asking
Joe,
the end result of what?
Of the father saying these things. What you know what I'm saying? It was I don't know how to put it into words. I'm just saying we're making a lot of this.
It's a big deal.
What is the end result that would make you happier?
Mickey, I don't think anything can, you can't unring this bell. I don't think there's any, and there's nothing that can undo any of it.
I'm more mad that I got to pay to watch the Cub games after watching 50 years on Channel 9. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not a funny matter. I get it. But I just don't know where we're going to go with this.
It's up to every fan. I don't think there is a way of saying this is how you must feel about it. I can tell you how I feel. You're going to feel how you're going to feel, and then you'll decide what to do with your discretionary sports dollar, entertainment dollar.
Yeah, that's where you'll have to go with this. I mean, this comes down to a fan-by-fan decision, and the Cubs are hoping through the popularity of their product, the action and outreach that they've done to try and sop up some of the email stuff, that all makes up, at least a little bit, for this rough offseason.
Yeah, they're interesting times that we live in. The Cubs are living in specifically interesting times here that we could never have foreseen, with baseball punishing Addison Russell for what he has done. That was not a well-handled press availability either.
It wasn't.
He's not Theo Epstein. Put it that when it comes to...
No, but the expectation was never be Theo for Addison Russell. It was say something you believe in.
Yeah, it was not... I'm not convinced he believes the things that he was saying.
He may.
Right.
He didn't convince anybody of that.
He didn't sound like those were his words. It sounded rehearsed. It sounded canned. It sounded rote and pat. And I'm not sure that he didn't win the benefit of the doubt. He could have.
By saying something he believed in, by saying something that felt genuine and organic, he could have.
We are Bernstein and McKnight talking a little bit about the Cubs, weighing in on some of the stuff that happened yesterday. And also, we'll talk basketball after the top of the hour with Vincent Goodwill. Always has a solid information for you on the NBA. That's coming up. A lot to do today. Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
We are related, right? He is my father. The dollars that were ultimately used to purchase the club were created by the wealth that he created. But like I said, I mean, this has always been an effort by myself and my siblings. And, he has no operating position or economic interest in the team at all. But obviously it's going to be something that I'm not surprised that people would associate it with us and the team. But and like I said, I mean, from our standpoint, we're surprised. We know it's not who my dad really is.
That's critical to know that confront the fact that it is who he really is. Don't hide behind the fact that, well, the news made him racist. No, that's not how it works. It doesn't work that way.
It did for a lot of people. It did. I mean, whether it's literally the news making you that way, or falling for a lot of, political slant, disinformation, or just genuinely made up news stories, that happened to a lot of people from about
of a certain age,
08
especially.
To 14, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, of a certain age, of a certain demographic, and quite frankly, of a certain a certain socioeconomic status, right? And so, we saw that quite
correct,
a bit.
Correct, but I do think that educated people have a responsibility to be vetting their sources of news.
How dare you?
Sorry. David on the North Side, you're on Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
Hey, guys, I'm a lifelong Cubs fan, and I have a huge Cubs collection of memorabilia, of, you know, a giant collection. I've donated to a lot of different foundations. And this stuff with Sinclair is just so awful. And I get the whole thing about wanting to avoid the whole, like, lovable loser and the Cubby stuff from the 70s and 80s, lovable losers. But I think this is just so extreme. I'm really torn. It's kind of like finding out some horrible news about one of your best friends, you know, somebody you grew up with. And you know, I'm really getting ready to sell all my stuff and give it to foundations because they've really, like, tore the heart out of what I loved about the Cubs. And it's just so gross. And I'm not sure about this Addison Russell thing is not great, but to blame the media or stuff about his dad to say that they're putting words in his mouth. No, he put his words in an email. This isn't made up stuff. And it's very Trumpian to kind of, like, blame the media and other people when it's coming right out of your own mouth. And there's not good people on both sides. You don't get to be a racist here. And then over here, you're donated all this money, so you're a good person.
That doesn't make you know? An unracist, right? I understand exactly what you're saying, and I do think the amount, the number of emails, the depth and breadth, and the word that we read from a Muslim Cub fan was the intensity. It isn't just it's not just a casual one use of one loaded term, one sharing of one loaded image. That in an email that I received from a Muslim Cub fan, he described it, what kept getting to him was how intense the feeling was, how specific, how deeply felt, how intense. You can't just get away from saying, oh, yeah, well, it's, you know, it's the news of the day. Great man. Great, great man. Great, great
just
man.
Just got hoodwinked by a couple of articles.
Right.
Read a couple of headlines.
Shared a couple
of
memes, yeah.
A couple of forwards here or there that just got, I mean, how can you blame him? That one was actually kind of funny. No, it doesn't really work that way.
On the southeast side, Brett is on the Score.
Good morning.
What's up, Brett?
Yeah, good. My thinking was, sorry about the chime, I'm in my car. It kind of does bother me a little bit as a fan, but, you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to, we love the players and we're not going to hold them accountable, you know. And we're not going to stop watching the product on the field, you know, because we love the players. And, you know, even though they have their issues.
Well, you know, can, instead of them, we, say I.
Well, I, okay, I'm sorry. My thing is, you know, what? How will, you know, Theo and Joe Madden, you know, look at this? And, you know, how long will they, you know, want to stay on board with these kind of people, you know what I mean, that feel this way about, you know, other people in the world, because those guys are kind of not, you know, cut from that cloth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think everybody has to make those decisions, whether it's in their personal lives or with their family or in their job. I mean, everybody, we all make these decisions.
Everybody.
We all make these decisions and have go to work with some cognitive dissonance about where your money ends up or what you're invested in or what fast food sandwich you're buying and what they – I mean, this is the family, right? This is a family's – issues, and it comes with all the complications therein.
I always kind of assume. Look,
this isn't new.
I'm a 50-year-old sports fan, and I always kind of assumed that anybody rich enough to own a pro sports team was probably racist. That was just kind of went with the
somebody baked that into you at camp or something.
No, it just went with the territory. At some point the people.
Hi, welcome to archery class here in Hayward, Wisconsin. By the way, anybody who owns a football team is probably.
Right, I tell you stories of union busting and all this stuff, and that old man threw nickels around like manhole covers. Right. It's sort of the thing that's people, titans of industry, were generally crushing other people and other cultures and pillaging wildernesses to get what they had gotten. You know, massive sums of money were generally won in ways that you don't want to see how the sausage was made. I kind of assume that. And if that sounds cynical, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't you think that there are so many more people now, though, exposed to how the sausage is made?
Yeah, and I also think your generation and the generation after yours is acting on that information in new and different ways.
I think that's true.
Is caring about some of that stuff in new and different ways, not trying to ignore it and not really assuming cognitive dissonance like I do. Not really assuming you got to back channel some stuff that I think younger people they're actually going to decide. I'm gonna a la carte a lot of this stuff.
I think that's the phrase. We get to everybody, not just my generation or the one after, but everybody gets to, and those two generations just see it a little easier, a la carte whatever they want. We've got brought up, you know, in an entertainment industry specifically, whereby you could essentially pick and choose your social media feed. You can choose your Instagram feed. You can choose your Twitter feed. You can choose your cable packaging. You can essentially choose what channels individually you want or don't want. Our subscriptions to writing, sports reporting, whether it be the Times or anything like that.
I thought you were going a different direction.
It's all feedable. It's all choosable. And I think in a lot of different ways, the bubbles we created got popped over the last couple of years. So we're refiguring what those feeds look like, but realizing in so doing that it is even more a la carte than it was before.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction. Here's something that is going to fundamentally be different about the psychology of the sports fan as younger people grow up. They're not as attached to laundry. I don't care where you live or what team mommy and daddy rooted for. If you look at the way NBA All-Stars choose upsides, it's much more about individual players. You don't have the heartbreak of somebody leaving town. When Chris Bryant signs elsewhere, they'll be, oh my God, Chris Bryant was going to be a lifelong Cub. There are fans now with fantasy sports and with the way sports is consumed at the highest pro level. There isn't the same kind of heartstring attachment to hometown team. Hometown team pride doesn't mean what it used to mean. And teams are going to have to figure out how to combat some of that stuff.
If you're right, then Major League Baseball is uniquely set against a future trend. With the principality of baseball fandom, with the idea that local blackout restrictions refuse anybody from watching whatever team they want, wherever they are, that is ancient and it is antiquated. And sure, it protects a couple of things now, but if you're headed to a landscape where after a CBA, after different negotiations and different spendings and spreadings of the money, you're still holding on to ancient practices, best of luck, because you got three other sports that are poised to take over.
It was a wild NBA weekend of excitement and pageantry, and then they will get back to the basketball. We'll talk all of it with Vincent Goodwill of Yahoo next on The Score.